The rite of passage. Taking a company public is the rite of passage for any entrepreneur. It would be like a college sports star being selected to play for a professional team. According to the September 27, 1999 issue of Fortune, if you're acquired, a company validates you. If you go public, the market, the world validates you. That is why Rich Dad called a person who could build a company from scratch and take it public an ultimate investor. That title eluded him. Although he invested in several businesses that ultimately did go public, none of the companies he actually started ever did go public. His son Mike took over his business and continued to grow it, but he has never built a company to take public. So to become an ultimate investor will mean that I will have to complete Rich Dad's training process. One reason the wealthiest 10% own 90% of all the shares, as reported in the Wall Street Journal, is that the wealthiest 10% include the ultimate investors, the people who created the shares. Another reason is that only this 10% are eligible, per SEC rules, to invest in a company at the early stages before it becomes available to the public through an IPO. In this elite group are founders of companies, aka founding shareholders, friends of the founders, or a select list of investors. These are the people who become richer and richer, while the rest of the population often struggles to make ends meet, investing the few dollars they may have left over as buying shareholders, if they have any dollars left at all. In other words, the ultimate investor is someone who builds a company and sells shares in his or her company. When you read an IPO prospectus, ultimate investors are the ones listed as the selling shareholders. They are not buying shareholders. And as you can tell by the net worth of these individuals, there seems to be a tremendous difference in wealth between those who sell and those who buy shares. Are you the next billionaire? The 1999 edition of Forbes Richest 400 People states on the cover, "The Billionaire Next Door." That issue has an article titled, "A Century of Wealth," and a subtitle that reads, "Where Does Great Wealth Come From?" Years ago, oil and steel were the foundations of many American fortunes. Today, it's more a matter of how many eyeballs you command. According to the article, if you want to talk about super rich, you have to set your sights higher, to billionaires, who are being minted faster than ever, using ever more ephemeral products to make their money. It took Rockefeller 25 years of finding, drilling, and distributing oil to make his first billion. Last year, Gary Winnick joined the Billionaires Club just 18 months after putting his money into Global Crossing, a company that intends to, but has yet to, develop a global fiber optic telecommunications network. So how long does it take to become super rich these days? The answer is not long. That reality becomes even more apparent for someone like me, a member of the baby boomer generation, when I look at the ages of the new billionaires. For example, billionaire Jerry Yang was born in 1968, a year before I finished college, and David Filo, his partner, was born in 1966, a year after I entered college. Together, they founded Yahoo and are now worth over $3 billion each and climbing. At the same time these young people are super rich, I meet individuals who are wondering if they will have enough money in their retirement plans when they retire in 10 years. Talk about a gap between the haves and future have-nots.